We'd like to welcome you to this afternoon's study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, June 7th, 2011. That doesn't make sense. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Kavanaugh, who's out of town on business and will not be calling in, will not be joining us. The first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular council meeting agenda. Let me see. Oh, we're reviewing the council agendas for both tonight and for next Thursday. Items 3A through 4B. This is tonight's, July 7th. 3A through 4B. Items 5A through 6A. Items 7A through 9B. Councilmember Higgins.
Somewhere in there, Mayor, is the amended zoning ordinance update, 7A.
7A, yes.
And I have one item that I noticed that was in there that I don't think we agreed to. And I share that item with you.
That's what we're here for.
Okay. And that is separate utilities to guest quarters or mother-in-law suites or whatever, or auxiliary living quarters, whatever we want to call that. You know, I remember discussing the SUP so you could rent it, but I don't think we had agreed on separate utilities to that building.
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, I believe you're correct. And it, quite honestly, it was an oversight in the final document, the final editing of the document. We have, and there are other, like, slight errors that we would probably have to come back and tweak. They're not substantial so much as they are grammatical types of things that need to be modified. So what we anticipate is to come back with a minor tweaking ordinance probably sometime in September or late August so that we can correct that item.
Okay, so it's on the record now that we do have that item. So when we come back for our technical update, which I'm assuming you'll come back probably within the next 90 days or so, this will be one of the things that is included. I don't imagine there will be a rush of people coming out trying to put on a separate thing, but we probably need to let them know that the intent of the council is to change this, and by the time we get that process, it's not going to be legal anyway. Okay? All right. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Anything else? Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I'm sorry. Did I miss the 2009 energy code on this page, or is that another item?
No, that's...
My computer is not behaving.
It's 5B.
It's 5B, yeah. Let me see.
I'm just going to throw something out just for fun. But perhaps the next time we look at this, this code does not actually require 2x6 construction. It still is only asking for R13 in the walls, which can be done with a 2x4. So maybe in the future we might want to come back and look at, you know, increasing the efficiency of that wall, which happens in the 2012, to the 2x6, which would allow you to get R20 in your walls, which even further increases the efficiency of our desert homes. But that's just for future reference.
Duly noted.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to the July 14th agenda. Give everyone time to load it up. All right, items 3A through 4A. Items 5A through 5F.
Mayor and Council, I just wanted to mention 5D and 5E, you don't have backup information, so I just wanted to give you a little bit of information. Waste Management is constructing a fueling station, CNG fueling station, at their transfer station at 80th and Warner. And so they are in our CNG service area, and we're working with them to construct a line to service their facility in the coming months. So we are reviewing bids, and that's what you'll see here. In fact, we have been reviewing them over the last couple of days. You'll see 5D, but 5E is actually under $25,000, so you won't see that next week, but you'll see the backup Tuesday for 5D.
Okay.
So that's what that's about.
So we will not see 5E, because I was really excited about talking about 4-inch and 6-inch ball valves.
I'm sorry to let you down.
We might have you come and give a presentation anyway, just because it's here. Thank you. 5G through 5I. 6A through 6H. Nothing yet? Okay. 6I through 7E. And 8A through 10A. Councilmember Finter.
Back on 5F, if I just would, if I could get with Beth after this meeting, just I had a couple quick questions, doesn't need to come up here. Thanks.
And that's at the, on the Fiesta District Police Station, okay? Okay. All righty, thank you. The next item on the agenda is to hear presentation, discuss revisions to the Mesa City Code regarding Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Mr. Hirschberg.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council. With me is Andrea Moore, Planning and Development Supervisor. We've made this presentation to both the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board as well as the Community and Cultural Services Committee, and wanted to just bring this to you before it's introduced later this evening and tell you about the updates to Title III, Chapter 8. First of all, these are just really simple changes to reflect the current organizational structure of the department and the position title for position titles within Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities. So we're simply replacing Community Service Manager with Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department Director throughout the chapter. Replacing Community Service Department with Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department, and removing facilities that are no longer under the department's management, and added new facilities and programs that are. Within Title VI and Chapter 10, again, changes to reflect our organizational structure and title within the department. And then definitions were updated to reflect the larger number of acres of undeveloped parkland throughout the city, and as well as allowing for more site and event-specific considerations for possible land uses in the future. Section 610, 3D, and T, as well as 610, 5B, were updated to discourage camping and personal hygiene activities within our parks.
Personal hygiene activities.
Showering.
We'll offer you a ride along with our park rangers if you're interested in learning more.
I can only imagine, and I don't think I want to.
You don't want to.
And there's nothing right now that specifically addresses, or this just
this strengthens it, makes it stronger to give us more ability to enforce and for the rangers to ticket and then go to prosecution levels if necessary.
Okay. Did you guys have a committee that came up with personal hygiene activities, or was that just...
Again, we'll offer a ride-along with our rangers if you really want to see what happens out there.
All right.
It's quite an educational experience.
Okay.
Again, within Title VI, Chapter 10, 610, 3D was a change to allow for accessible accommodations that are more varied based on individual needs, as electronic vehicles for different individuals. Section 610, 3J was changed to allow leash dogs within all parks and basins, but puts an increased emphasis on controlling aggressive dogs. This has changed from our original proposal after working with City Prosecutor's Office and the City Attorney's Office. Originally, it was written to not allow them in sports fields, basins, and playgrounds, but the City Prosecutor's Office felt that those were too broad of definitions and wouldn't make it a prosecutable activity if it happened. So they asked us to tighten it up, put more emphasis on the aggressive dogs, and restrict the leash size so that they can enforce should an issue arise. So
is there something included in that, if you do have a dog on a leash, that covers the personal hygiene activities of dogs?
We have off-leash dog parks, and we encourage residents to also bring the doggy pots out there to help us pick up after the hygiene of their animals.
If we're allowing leash dogs within all parks, do we have anything that talks about people who don't pick up when they're in a non-doggy park area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, this enforces it, and rangers are out writing citations for that activity.
That includes that?
Correct.
Okay.
And then finally, Section 610.6C was to change to allow greater flexibility in the beer and wine permitting process. In conjunction with this code change, the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board endorsed departmental adoption of a policy specifying that beer and wine permits may only be issued in conjunction with a Ramada or sports field reservation. Previous code was pretty restrictive to locations. The changes of those parks have changed, and this kind of frees it up and allows us to work within that guideline and address it as needs change as opposed to updating
the
code.
But still keeping it into a well-defined area.
Correct.
Rather than just a citywide park, so you can keep it to the Ramada, to the sports
yes.
area.
Yes, it has okay. to be, that permit has to be associated with right. one of those reservations, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Comments? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation and discuss preliminary plans for the redistricting of city council districts.
Does redistricting come with the new colors?
That's a question you can ask.
I won't ask that. Pretty sure. I like the green bird.
Mayor and Council, my name is Carla Wagner. I'm with the City Manager's Office, and we are here today to provide you with an update on the work of the Redistricting Commission to date, as well as discuss four preliminary maps that have been approved by the Commission to move forward for public comment. With me today, to my far left, is Scott Higginson. He is the chair of our Redistricting Commission, and also Doug Johnson, who is our consultant with National Demographics Corporation. And I also wanted to point out that in the audience with us as well is Brian Allen, who is also a member of the commission. So I am going to turn the time over to Scott Higginson to give you a brief update, and then we'll turn the time over to Doug Johnson.
Thank you, Carla. Mayor and Council, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today and report on the activities of the commission thus far to date. And thanks for the opportunity to serve the city in this capacity. The Commission's worked pretty hard and diligently to forward to you for your review today four different plans. We had a total of six that we had worked through, and at our last meeting determined that these were the four that we would forward for your review and comment at this meeting, as well as for presentations to the public through a series of six community meetings that will be held during the first two full weeks of August. We began the process with a target population goal, which is pretty easy to figure it out. You take the population of the city and divide by six, and that's the goal that we have to meet to try and stay as close as possible to that, which is a little over 73,000, if I remember correctly. To meet that objective, and generally in my experience of having done redistricting in the past, you can basically take the districts which need to expand and push their boundaries into those that are bigger than that population goal and reach a pretty quick decision. This could easily have been done, like I said, by moving the council districts that are expanding them to the east, where the growth in the larger districts lie. However, we face two additional criteria that cause these plans and proposed district boundaries must meet. One is the Department of Justice requirements for minority representation, and secondly, as required by the city charter, the responsibility to keep all sitting council members within the boundaries of their current districts. So in order to meet the DOJ requirements, we needed to start our process with District 4, which has the highest Latino population, and work to expand District's 4 boundaries first, in an attempt to ensure that we maintained as high a ratio of Latino population in that district. In order to do that, we had to take areas surrounding District 4's current boundaries with high Latino population and move them into District 4. This then left those districts that we took from, who were already well behind in the population balance equation, already lagging behind in population, are now even further behind. Additionally, several council members live near their current boundaries, and the districts, so that created some pretty hard boundaries and prevented us from expanding into certain areas as we went through the process. But again, I think the maps that you have before you, we're pretty pleased with. We think they offer a variety of options that will allow for some good public input to the process over the next few weeks. So I'm going to let Doug go through the details of the individual plans, and we'll be happy to answer any questions following his presentation.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for having us here tonight. I'm going to walk through this somewhat quickly to leave as much time as we can for questions. Happy to come back to any of this to discuss in more detail. The criteria are pretty standard criteria. We have both legal requirements, the must-dos, as I refer to them, which come above everything else, and then the traditional criteria, which the courts have recognized as appropriate considerations in redistricting if the body doing the redistricting chooses to consider them. So that's where communities of interest, visible boundaries, things like that all fall, as opposed to the Equal Population and Voting Rights Act requirements that the chairman referred to. As you mentioned, the districts in the east are overpopulation. District 5 by about a little over 7%, District 6 by almost 45%.
yeah. And you feel it.
Yes, and probably hear it on your phone. Yes. Alternatively, the districts in the middle and west side of town are underpopulated, from District 2 at almost 8% to District 1 at 11%, District 3 at 13.5%, and then District 4 is the most underpopulated at almost 20% underpopulated. So we have both the voting rights retrogression concern there and a significant underpopulation to deal with there. The chairman talked about needing to maintain those percentages to avoid retrogression in District 4. And right now, the district is 61% Latino in total population, according to the census, 54.5% by voting age population. And then when we look at the census data on citizen voting age population, it drops way down to 25.5 or 24.2, depending on which data set we're looking at. So those are the what we call the benchmarks that the Department of Justice looks at. It's not required to meet those. The real retrogression standard is the ability to elect needs to be maintained. But if you don't hit those, then there has to be considerable Latino community input saying, we know you didn't make it, but this is the way we want the district. So short of that, DOJ will focus on the numbers, and we need to be sure to get there. So the four plans before you, as the chairman said, are a good illustration of the different choices and the different options. And I think they've done a good job of choosing maps that will generate discussion and get a lot of input, because they are significantly different maps. First of all, in all of them, District 4 is the same. This is because the district is so underpopulated that it is very hard to avoid retrogression. So we looked at the numbers and looked at how to get it up to population. Even though none of the communities around it are 61% Latino, can we still do some changes that stay at that level? And essentially, the makeup of that district, it adds territory to the northeast and it adds territory on the west. Those are not 61% Latino areas, but they are relatively diverse. And the addition of those, combined with taking out some areas in the southeast corner that are not at all Latino, enabled us to avoid retrogression there. So that's how that district was drawn. We looked at, the commission looked at other ways of configuring it, but they did not come up to the retrogression standard. As the chairman noted, that need to move west into District 3 in order to avoid retrogression made District 3 even more underpopulated than it was just in the current lines. And so Plan A addresses that by moving District 3 north along the edge of the city, and it wraps around the stars represent the incumbent locations, given the charter requirement. We put those on the map. So District 3 moves up to pick up the population that it needs. This, of course, pushes into District 1, And in this plan, District 1 picks up some kind of the northern and northwestern portions of current District 2. It pushes all the way over to Val Vista, where the current district doesn't quite get there in some areas. And then it pushes across to pick up the rest of the population it needs. This is the one plan where there is significant change to District 5, because it's giving up that territory. District 5 then picks up some of the extra population from the southeastern part of town. And of course, there's so much growth in District 6 that District 2 also picks up in every plan a significant number of people from District 6. In this plan, it picks up the fewest because 5 is taking up some of that slack. In Plan B, this is another way of getting 3 to balance. The area south of Superstition Freeway, kind of the narrow corridor, is essentially unpopulated. There's one block with about 100 people in it. But it's a industrial corridor south of the freeway that then gets over and picks up the population to the east. Again, I don't think anyone would draw this as their ideal dream district, but we're looking at how do we get 3 up to balance, and there is no ideal dream way of doing that, given the retrogression needs for District 4.
If I could ask you, I understand the reality of that zero population, but don't you have the same issue going north on District 3 when you get up around Broadway? Between Broadway and Main Street, there's nobody living there either. So,
right.
So you have that situation that comes up either way on District 3. You're going to, you have a natural boundary where there's zero population. So the question is do you, to me, you know, they're not any different. You have the same situation whether you go east or whether you go north.
Sure.
Okay, I just want to make.
And Mayor, as you'll see in the other plans, the real question lies with District 3.
Yeah.
It's whether you take push east or push north.
Right.
Between the options that we really face.
And I guess I want to make, and you, Councilmember Richens has, we brought this up. Either way, you have this problem. And I guess what I wanted to point out is that's a natural to notice that, or to mention that, because we notice it going east. But you have the same situation going north, where it's almost the same size of barrier between Broadway and Main Street, and between literally Alma School and the city line. That's all industrial, as you do there. So either way, regardless whether you go north or along the western boundary, or you go east along that boundary, you're going to have to take into account. You're going to have a natural barrier in District 3 where you're crossing industrial or commercial zones with no, right, with no names. Okay.
Yes, and I should add, the reason I highlighted in this map is in terms of concerns about District 4 and retrogression, just to highlight that we're not taking any Latino neighborhoods out of 4 in order to make that neck. But you're right, there's zero population bridges each place. Just want to be clear, this one isn't a retrogression problem because we're not taking any Latinos out of 4 when we do. Did I get everything there? Oh, so in Plan B, over on the eastern side, District 1 does not have that neck across because it doesn't need to pick up as many people. Because 3 is not coming north, District 1 has much smaller changes in this map. It simply goes over to Val Vista and down a little bit to Adobe. So 5 is almost unchanged. It picks up a small corner of 6. It gives up territory to District 2. In this map, District 2 comes up to its current border. That's what the red dashed lines are on here at Brown. And then District 2 picks up the majority of territory that 6 needs to give up. Plan C is really the third approach to District 3. And again, I don't think anyone would say, hallelujah, this is what I always hope to draw. this is a very challenging demographic issue here. And so rather than coming east along under the freeway or north along the edge of town, this one wraps just over the top of District 4 to pick up the population that it needs. Because Plan C, we're picking up population into 3 from 1. 1 again has to come over farther. So you can see it coming over to Val Vista and coming significantly farther south. In this one, 5 really, other than some notches and small islanded territories, doesn't come south. All that extra population is picked up by 2 out of 6. Oh, and I should highlight just one minor thing that differs in these plans. So in this version, 2 picks up the whole corridor between the two county islands. That varies among the plans. And then in Plan D, again, we have the 3 moving north along the edge of town. And then this is, again, District 2 is staying up at its current borders east of Val Vista, and then picking up territory from 5 to balance 5 and picking up territory from 6. So that is a quick walkthrough. I do want to add, too, that on the Mesa site, if you click on the homepage, there's a link for redistricting 2011 home, and it takes you to the page with all the information about this. We're going to be linking, I think, next week to an online redistricting system where all these plans have been input, so people can draw their own plans from scratch. They can start from the current districts, or they can start from any of these 4 plans and draw their own plans and share them, submit them, do whatever they want. For people who just want to review the plans, they don't want to get into the tools and technology. We're putting the maps up in Google Maps as well. So there will be links on that redistricting homepage where they can simply click and see the map in Google Maps. So anyone that's comfortable with Google Maps for directions or anything like that can zoom in and see exactly where the lines go. And again, the schedule's in your packet. I don't know if we want to spend a lot of time on this or you can just review it. We're happy to answer any questions or show you anything.
I don't think there's any questions, so we'll go. Oh, there are.
I just have one comment about the schedule that school starts August 10th, and that's traditionally the time when people are back in town for stuff. And I don't know if it's an issue in District 2 or not to have that prior to school getting back in on August 8th, that you might want to consider moving that particular meeting. But I know in my neighborhood, August 10th is really the draw. You know, we don't schedule anything until school is back in session. And so I think you get better public participation if we push that off just a little bit. But I don't know, Alex, is that an issue? I mean, maybe you could do 2 on a, you're doing 1 on a Saturday already. Maybe you want to do it on a Saturday or something like that.
And it's also worth noting, too, of course, these are not restricted. If people want to come to, they can come to any meeting in any district. They don't have to only go to their own meeting as well.
Okay, questions? Councilmember Glover.
I just had a quick question. I know that 10 years ago, they put a real stress on having a high school in each council district. I think that worked really well for the last 10 years. Was there an emphasis on putting that again this time around in the redistricting commission?
We didn't have the map of high schools when we were drawing these with the commission, but the commission did raise that, and I think it's something we're going to add in.
One of the members did raise that, and when you're looking at communities of interest, schools become one of them. We even talked about elementary schools, you know, to really focus on where neighborhoods are. So we'll certainly will look at that, but again, it's not something that drove much of our thinking. We are far more concerned about meeting the DOJ requirements as well as making sure that we hit the population balance. It's a matter of, you know, it's a fairly simple process. If you move one boundary, then you got to move another one, because you're trying to get them all equal population while maintaining District 4. As Doug said, it doesn't change much between plans, because we literally had to go to the edges of District 4, find the census tracts with the highest Latino population and pull those into it, and then it was pretty well set. So then it's just a matter of how do you shuffle the boundaries around it, and 3 became the critical one. It can go, as the mayor said, it can go east and be shaped like this, or north and be shaped like this, or it can go east and be shaped like this. And so it's just one of the other options to how to get 3 to its population. And you can adjust that around the arc, so to speak. If you pull a little off of this way, then it causes this one to stick out a little more, and you can move that back and forth.
2 concerns that I have. In every map, I know that there's a little slice of Harris that you took out. And for me, that would be a community of interest, because everyone that goes, that lives in that district, along with the other side west of Harris, goes to Mesa High, and that is a community of interest. The other one is on map.
You're talking between Harris and Gilbert?
Yes. The other point that I'd like to bring up is that map B. I personally don't think that that would be the best map. I know that Doug had mentioned that, but that I don't think would pass the DOJ standards of, like, that's gerrymandering a district if I've ever seen one. So I don't particularly care for having somebody represent all the way from Dobson and Southern all the way out to Val Vista and Southern. There are completely different concerns at Val Vista and Southern than at Dobson Ranch. And I think that anyone can attest to that. So those are my two comments.
Well, and we did hear at our last meeting, we had residents of the Lehigh community who felt that them putting them with Dobson Ranch was equally concerning. And those are the options we face.
Vice Mayor.
Overall, from my perspective, well done. Thank you.
You're getting smaller.
I'm getting, yes. Well, what's going to be interesting is...
And his district changes, too.
You're a funny guy. You are. It's going to be fascinating because we're going to do this redistrict and it'll balance out and we'll be good for another term or two, and then all of a sudden we'll be completely out of whack as the Mason Gateway area continues to develop. So sure. we're going to hit the same problem in District 6 in the next 10 years as we had in the past. That said, the only community of interest that got missed is Superstition Springs. It's a fairly large one in the area east of the mall. A couple of these maps keep it together, but a few of them break it apart. There's a small sliver of it a little bit north of Southern. So if you could get the Superstition Springs Homeowners Association map and just have that in the one district, that would be the only community of interest. On another perspective, if we could have the mall be in that area, because Superstition Springs was a DMB property. It was all developed together as part of that.
Part of the mall.
It's not part of the HOA, but it has a zero population. And so since it doesn't impact it, keeping the mall in with a Superstition Springs HOA would be great because those businesses impact the residents around them.
Perfect.
Other than that, from a District 6 perspective, it looks pretty good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Fenter.
Anyone?
And to support what he just said, if you look at I think it's Leisure World, the big white county island in the center there,
yeah,
that actually is a huge barrier that goes all the way down to baseline. If you think of, they have a water treatment or wastewater treatment facility, big green belts. It's like a major barrier through that area. So that area just east of Power, which kind of includes the Superstition Springs and other areas, it's like an island. It really, even though it looks like it wraps around on the map, it's really kind of an island outside of a general area. So it was just something I thought of right through the middle of that eastern portion of most of these plans that have that. It really is a huge separation between the neighborhoods that are out off of Sossaman and those areas that go up to the canal, which would be east of Higley. There's just really a physical barrier that kind of, it would not be contiguous if I looked at it. You know, it's just two really separate different places, but just an observation. But it, you know, however it works out.
Vice Mayor?
Just as a follow-up to that, perhaps a suggested boundary might be that that canal that's there. Perhaps a question, when you're doing your numbers, are you counting the population of the counties in this? No, okay. So that would be a zero population. So maybe having District 6 end at the canal might work. And you'd have to balance that out somewhere along the north end. But that's why we got you fine people on that.
Well, it looks like three of the plans, those are all in one district. They're all in District 2. Mm-hmm. And on one mm-hmm. of the plans, that area is in District 6. So I'm not following what your comments are. They're either all in one or they're all in another.
Yeah, I thought we kind of took care of that a bit.
Yeah,
but because all the area east of the county island is either, it's all in the same district all the way to Sossaman on all the plans, if I'm reading it right.
The boundaries of Superstition Springs are large. They go all the way down to Guadalupe Road. Guadalupe, the eastern boundary is Sossaman, goes all the way up. It includes a small area just north of Southern, and it includes all the area around the mall.
So you would say on Plan A is the only plan there that meets the criteria?
I would say that would be true, yes. That and then some on that particular HOA.
Well, if it doesn't Plan A, and I'm just like, doesn't Plan A include all the Superintendent Springs HOA?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And then some.
And then the others, though.
Split it.
They take most of it. Okay. Councilman Richens.
Yeah. What's the allowable population deviation in each district? I mean, how much could you, what the goal number was, what, 73,000?
Yeah.
It's 73,000.
I mean, how much can you vary from that number across the board?
Well, there's no hard and fast number that's okay. It used to be plus or minus 5%, 10% range was fine. Now you have to be very specific. So the courts ask, why are you doing it? Is there, for example, to keep a neighborhood together? And then is there a way that you could keep that neighborhood together without deviating? And if not, then you can vary by, the courts haven't said you can't go to 5% over or under, but when you get close to 5, you're getting into very shaky territory. Unfortunately, there isn't clear guidance, but our general recommendation is if your district is 1.5% off, you're fine.
Our objective would have been, council member, to stay within 1% and 2% deviation.
The thing that I'm struggling with is I don't have that information. I don't know what the new population is for each of these districts. Was there a chart that was supposed to accompany this? I mean, we pay a lot for a consultant. We should at least have that data on each district, right? I mean, this. I just don't think, I mean, we can sit here and argue over particular neighborhoods and draw lines, but I'm really disappointed in the amount of data that I have accompanying these maps, because I can't look at this and tell anything about Hispanic population in any district. I don't know what the population is per district. I don't have any of that to go on, and so I feel like it's almost wasting our time to sit here and look at these colored maps and if I don't have any of that data. So where's the data?
Well, it was kind of a desire to avoid flooding with things, but we'll get, it's all
I think the thing is that while we, and I can appreciate you're trying to bite the whole thing off in one bite. And as you can tell, you have council members who have specific knowledge of neighborhoods and things like that because that they represent them. And knowing how much leeway you might or might not have, whether it's 2% or 1% or 4% or whatever, you know, when you have specific questions as to whether this should be this block or that block, this side of Harris or that side of Harris, you know, we might be able to say, hey, listen, I can see how you might, if you didn't realize how connected this neighborhood was, hey, would you look at this? Because it looks like you may have a little bit of leeway. Now, there's no way we're going to be able to sit here and get into that kind of detail, but I think we can maybe add a little bit that you might not have simply because we know our neighborhoods, or the council members know their neighborhoods pretty specifically.
Yes.
Right. I just have way of sensing what the trade-offs are. I can't, you know, if I push this line over here or push that line over there, I need that data to be able to even
so
provide
that. So did you get that follow-up we made? And I
can oh, yeah.
You
oh, yeah.
And by plan, by, and I think you just superimpose it on this area or even the census tracts type information so we can look at that. That would be
really
great.
Helpful.
Yes, we actually have put together and we'll be going live on the website a citizens kit that is a paper version for people that don't want to get into the online tool, and it actually has a map of, we call them population units. They're kind of easy to work with GRP. They're smaller than tracts, so they're more detailed and it has everything you want. The other piece too, in terms of deviation question, because you have to justify your deviations, we always start with maps that are at essentially zero. So all these maps are essentially zero deviation. That's why in especially B, C, and D, you see lots of notches and little
shapes. So they're pretty close to 73,000, what you're saying.
Yes. So they all have the notches with the goal of getting exactly the feedback you're talking about,
okay,
about we need to fix this, because that's what the court wants to see, is that record.
Gotcha.
And there is data in a matrix that can be provided that breaks it down. You can look at each map and see what it does in each district as far as the percentages.
I'm assuming there is. And I think that's what a census mapper, that's what we have. So we can give out suggestions.
You can also, with the online site, magically go in and move a boundary, and it automatically calculates while you're moving the boundary what that does to all the populations.
That's really dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Sounds like fun.
We had a lot of fun here our last meeting moving lines, trying to find that balance.
Councilman Higgins.
I just want to point out a couple issues that you might not know about. But on Plan A, if you look at we'll say District 1's most east boundary, cutting down 64th Street, that's like literally cutting through a neighborhood. That's not like a major, that's not Record, that's not Power, that's not Higley. That doesn't look like it'd be a good line at all. And then, of course, you cut up the Citrus subarea into three districts on this map. Let's see, do you? No, two. And the other, on another map, we actually cut the Citrus subarea, which is a, you know, actually has a subarea plan registered with the city since it's considered a special area in Mesa. So, you know, I wouldn't think you'd want to cut that out.
Well, same
that
as
into
Lehigh.
3 points. Pardon me?
Same as Lehigh.
Lehigh
three of the plans. Lehigh's got a subarea too that's cut
right.
up.
You're not cut up. Where? How
come? On A you are.
Mm-hmm. How?
A,
show
C,
me where.
D.
A, C, and D split.
Oh, it goes west. Lehigh goes all the way to
A and D cut it.
So, yeah, those kind of things I would think would be important to keep together. And, yeah, just that. So, A is my least favorite, just so you know, because of that. And then to come for District 5 to wrap around to the south just to pick up that doesn't, again, I know it's a starting point. So, anyway, those are some of my concerns. And District 1 becomes a east-west district. Has, you know, as much of East Mesa, or what we have called East Mesa, as West Mesa. So that's kind of, that's, again, that's my least favorite for those reasons. And a couple of these, you know, doesn't change the district that much. And like Council, or Vice Mayor Summers said.
You know what's interesting, though? You make an interesting comment, Councilman Higgins, but historically, Mesa has been an east-west linear driven more so than a north-south.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to the days I was in high school and Main Street was the dividing line between Mesa High and Westwood. And Mesa was always more east-west. You know, people who lived out at that time, the end of the world, out on, you know, Gilbert, Lindsay, had much more in common with the people who lived in Dave Richin's neighborhood over by Westwood High School than they ever did with people who lived a mile to the south on the other side of Main Street. And that's just, you know, historically, that's how Mesa developed, and that's how we've been. So, you know, it's real interesting, the challenge you have, which District 3, as you said, it, to me, is the big challenge.
Three sets the tone, Your Honor.
Well, you know, the challenge you have is defining what is the community of interest. And I'll get, Councilmember Kavanaugh did email me, and I want to make sure we get on the record his comment. As much as, you know, just Plan B is funky. You know, to me, Plan A, Plan C, and Plan D are equally funky. And the question is what are the community of interest? And I don't know exactly what that is, and that's something maybe Councilmember Richens can address a little bit more. But when you look at history, the community of interest actually are more well-defined headed east-west than they are north-south.
Right.
Like we talked about. You know, having Lehigh in with Dobson Ranch, I mean, you know, that's oil and water. Mm-hmm. That ain't come close to a community of interest. And you know, my old house, which is at University in Mesa Drive, in with Dobson Ranch. I mean, those two communities are night and day. As you go to the east, the houses are about the same age. Yes, the demographics are slightly different. Yeah, there's a challenge, but I could make a good argument that in Plan C you have a much, or Plan D, I mean, someone at Lindsay and the freeway has probably lived in their house the same time, has maybe come from outside of Mesa, has probably much more in common with someone around the Fiesta Mall area than someone up around Westwood High School has with someone in the Fiesta Mall area. And I don't know what the right answer is, but I think that's really the question you really need to address is as you, as you look at District 3, and I get it that it's sort of the one that you gotta, for lack of a better term, you gotta gerrymander it somehow. But gerrymandering is a bad term.
You gotta deal with it first.
You're gonna have funky ways because it's the only way you can make it happen. And I think you really need to look at it, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out in the community discussions as to how these people think as far as being the true community of interest. The truth of the matter is, if you get in the middle of the city, you know, we're pretty, you know, meat and potatoes. yeah, there's differences, but you go from District 2, 1, 5, in the area in the middle, and there's not drastic changes. There's certainly community of interest, but it's not as drastic as it is in that area or, for example, up in the Desert Uplands, where there really are, or Lehigh, or the Fiesta District, where they truly are significantly different. Personalities, histories, age. I mean, there's just a lot of different things in those corners of the city that I think stand out. And I think that's going to be your biggest challenge. And really, it's the Plan B approach versus the other approaches. Because the other ones, I think, are nibbling on the edges, and we can twist things here and there and pull in some of these neighborhoods and probably make it work. But, you know, the real idea is do you go east with Plan B, which I think follows a more of a traditional Mesa, but it still may not be the acceptable one, or go to the Plan A, I just think C is way too funky for me. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a quick question?
I think you start off with B.
Mayor, if I could respond to that, because there's 2 points. There's two things I'd like to say. If you look at the U.S. Census data, which I did on the state website, you will find exactly what you're saying, that there is a very horizontal strata to the city from an economic standpoint, education standpoint, age of residence standpoint. It's a very horizontal strata through the city, to reinforce your point. Second of all, concerning communities of interest, it is not our objective, because it would be impossible to do so, to have an entire city council district be a community of interest.
Right.
The purpose is to make sure that the various 36 communities of interest within the city are within the same district. That's the goal. You're probably going to have a city council district like 3 that may have 5 or 6 communities of interest within it, because we're not going to find an ability to have the entire district reflect the same demographics.
And I agree with you, but I also think that your purpose should be to not split what are natural communities of interest.
That's my point.
Which basically splits their representation.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the communities of interest within a
you
single
can't
district.
Be perfect. This is, especially when you're following DOJ, where you've got to respect that one gigantic community of interest and keep it in the same or close to the same district. But I mean, I think that our objective should be to get as close as we can. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're going to split, the numbers just don't play out. The development scheme doesn't play out. You're going to split some neighborhood or split some place. I mean, I live in, where I live right now, we're really at the meeting of 3 different districts. I mean, my father lives across the street, less than 1/2 mile away. You can't really separate our neighborhoods, and he's in a completely different district. And if I turn and walk 2 blocks another way, we're in another district. We get along just fine. We're okay. It's not the end of the world. But I think that on these things, you have the potential for some significant separations. And historically, as we look at the political involvement, and as you go down to the council members and look and see where they get communities that show up and that are involved, I'd like to keep those kind of natural, when we talk about community of interest, I know that's a wide-ranging term, but if we could, try to keep those as much together as we can and not separate them.
Right.
And I think you have that. Not criticizing the map, because I think you've done a great job with what you had to work with. That's happening with some of these things, more so than I think with others.
And what we tried to achieve with Plan B, Mayor, was, as I said, that yellow District 3 could wrap around in any degree of turning.
Right.
And so we said, let's show the community a map that pushes it as far east as possible, so that if we are trying to develop a community out there on that eastern arm, we have as many people as possible in that district together. We could ratchet that thing back half a turn, full turn, and twist it around to find a balance, but then you're going to take that area to the east and make it smaller and smaller and smaller as you pull that boundary back.
So. And what's interesting is if you had thrown Plan B out here 20 years ago, everyone would have thought that was normal, because that was the development pattern along the freeway.
Right.
Now it seems a little strange because the neighborhoods are more mature and more established. Councilmember Higgins, you had a question.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wondered, in Plan B, is District 4 fine with all your goals and people and retrogression, that word that I had to look up again to know what it meant?
But. Yes. Actually, the numbers on this are essentially identical in District 4, because in the narrow part across District 4, there's essentially no one there. There's one block with 100 people, but they're not Latino. Where it widens out and goes up to Southern is the part that comes out of District 4 in all the plans.
Okay.
So it's simply, in the other plans, that area comes out and goes to District 2. In this one, it comes out and goes to District 3.
Okay.
So the population that ends up in District 4 is essentially identical in both versions of that district.
And Mayor and Councilmember Higgins, if I could, the area that Councilmember Glover referred to, that we've been calling it in our meeting, that southeast rectangle, because it is taken out of 4 in all the plans because it has a very low Latino population. So by pulling it out, it helps us with our retrogression number, because then when we pick up other Latino areas, we've lost some of the non-Latino area, so it helps that retrogression number stay up. That's why it's taken out in all 4 plans. But we will look at it, to what happens if we keep it in. If we keep it in, though, it does act as a blockade to go across, as we've done on Plan B.
Okay. Let me just read for Councilman Kavanaugh, because he asked me to put it on the record. He says, I have significant reservations about the new Plan B, which takes District 3 all the way east of Alvista. The identified corridor south of US 60 from Country Club to Stapley has no residents. I don't know if he wants me to put this on, but I will anyway. It reminds me of the division between East and West Pakistan with India in between in 1947.
move to strike.
We weren't. None of us were. We're pretty safe.
So maybe that's what we can do, is we can start identifying these rather than by district, by countries.
Yeah.
Which one is Bangladesh? I think that's that would China. Be East Pakistan, wasn't it? Didn't East Pakistan become Bangladesh? I don't know. Okay. All right. Vice Mayor.
No.
I will say, Mayor, one of the last comments is we have all tried our best to be concerned for District 2, because it is basically in the crease of, we call it, of everything that's happening. You've got to expand east, and you've also got everybody coming at you from the east. So it's probably going to have the most significant changes, and we've done our best to try and include a major block of its former self in whatever new district is created.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Bangladesh.
Well, we'll look forward to getting that additional information. I'm sure once you get that, you'll get some individual suggestions and ideas. And once people start playing around with the video game map, I don't know if anything will come of it, but they'll have a good time doing it. And then I'm really interested to see what happens with your public comments and public hearings.
You're, of course, all invited to those public hearings as they're being
Great.
Held.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have a motion. As I mentioned last meeting, I have some additional appointments to boards and committees. These are new appointments. Last time we did took care of all the reappointments. We have a motion from the Vice Mayor to approve. Do we have a second? Second, Councilmember Finter. Any questions, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. Acknowledge receipts of various boards and committees. Motion by Councilmember Finter. Second by Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended? None? Oh.
Talk about the celebration.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, most of us, I think everyone was there, and about 50,000 of our closest friends had a great time Friday and Saturday night on the celebration of freedom. And I just want to tell you that, you know, you walk. When I was walking down Main Street, both on Friday and Saturday night, there's just a special feeling when, number one, you see all the volunteers, you see how things are put together, you see, and most of all, you see people having a great time. You see the smiles on their faces, and that's time when you sit there and you think, this is worth it, because as a community, we came together, first of all, to put this on, which is no small undertaking. This is a lot of work, and this is not a city event, but we have a lot of city departments involved. We have Steve Wright, I shouldn't mention names, because Steve and Jessica and Melissa and Kathy, and there's a long list of city departments that get involved, that work with the community to make this happen, whether it be traffic or Parks and Rec, or who else is involved, Melissa? engineering. You know, we have a lot of city personnel that work with the community and community groups, the Sotoma Club and others, to put this on. And then to have the organizations and the companies, Southwest Ambulance, the Cool FM, Chicago Cubs, who put up big money, and then we had more than a dozen or two dozen whose contribution was every bit as important, who contributed both money and materials and personnel and others to make this truly a community event. You know, this is a big deal for this community because it's something that we can all be proud of, I think. And we've got nothing but very positive responses. It was hotter than all get out, and people still had a great time because the way it was laid out, and they forgot about how hot it was because how special it was. The most important thing, though, is that unlike other events, this was also truly a celebration of who we are. And it went beyond water rides and games and things like that. And, you know, to walk through that, the walkway that they put up that recognized those who've given their lives was just, you know, beyond moving. It was special the way they put it up there in the Arts Center garden area, patio area. It was just unbelievably special. And to go into the Arts Center and see how the theaters were being used, and once again, people celebrating who we are, was just special. So thanks to all involved. I know I forgot somebody, but I'll tell you, it was really a great night, a great two nights. And did I forget anything? Oh, police, fire, and solid waste. And energy, transportation. Kevin Christopher. Oh, yes, Kevin was walking around. Thank you, Kevin. And we look forward to it next year. And as I explained, this is unique. It's unique because we do it downtown. It's unique because of the way it comes together. It's unique because of the amenities and the events that are there. And it's especially unique because I don't know of another place that shoots fireworks off the top of City Hall. And that alone makes it worthwhile coming, but it was just good all over. So thank you to the community of Mesa. Thank you for creating something really special, and I hope this goes on for a long time and this literally becomes part of our culture. So there were a lot of tired people on Saturday night, but they did a great job. So thank you. Is that a short enough report for you?
That's very good.
Thank you for reminding me. Okay, anything else? Ms. Kent.
Mayor and Council, we have another great event downtown tomorrow at Second Friday, so from 6 to 10 tomorrow night downtown. And then just a reminder, next Thursday we will have an afternoon study session. We will let you know the time early next week, and then a council meeting will follow. And then you all are on council break until August 18th following that. That's it.
And that's probably good for both us and the city. Yeah. Okay. We have a motion to adjourn by the Vice Mayor, Second Council Member Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned, and we'll see you upstairs in just a couple minutes. Thank you.